Let's give another hand for Pastor Sam and that wonderful message that he gave us, because, you know, we don't really truly understand the spiritual world. And we were all chosen. And I truly believe we were given the ancient secrets and the mysteries. We're living in a body, but this body is made up of pure spirit. You take the spirit out of the body falls to the ground. Let's just be basic and real. You take the spirit out of the body falls to the ground. The spirit is what needs to be built up. The spirit is what needs to be conditioned. The spirit is what needs to be educated, have an understanding. Without the spirit being built and equipped, you're dead. You can lift all the weights. You can work out and have the best looking body. But if your spirit isn't conditioned and equipped, you don't have nothing. You're worth nothing. This is where the world needs to understand. They're fighting. And their intentions are good. They mean well. But they keep hitting a lead wall. A brick wall. A stone wall. They keep hitting a hard surface, which is not allowing them to move forward. It's not allowing them to get ahead in life. They're not allowing them to fill that emptiness that is inside of them. The truth that we have is to heal the broken heart, to cleanse the inner being, and to bring and strengthen those feeble knees so that they can stand and have a life. I've been speaking a series about love. And this series on love has really worked on my heart to no end. Because it's allowing me to show me that if you don't have love, you have nothing. And love is something that we're all missing. If you have that feeling of emptiness, sort of a feeling of depression, feeling of like just dull, and you're not satisfied, confusion. It's almost like you're hungry, and you just don't know what you can eat to satisfy that hunger. If any of us ever experienced any of those feelings, it all has to do with love. We're lacking an ingredient called love. And I am trying to bring across to the world that there are many gods out there. And through religion, you know, they have a hard time finding the right God. And I want to share with the world that I know the true living God. Here in this place, the other pastors that are a part of this place has been raised up, seriously, by a divine encounter in our lives. I was taken into a place, and it changed my life forever. And I was able to spark the fire that was already burning in the other men that came alongside of me and said, "We have to bring this ministry to the world." And we set this place, and that's how this place got started. The world doesn't know this. They think that we're just another church or another form of religion. But I want you to know, this is life. It's not religion, it's life. It's not a church. It's a place for you to be healed, delivered, and set free. It's a place for your spirit to be captured and equipped and trained so that you can have the desires of your life, so that you can be filled with every passion and every emotion and every feeling. Come alive. Right now, we are in a movement. The world is crying out, and they don't know what they're crying out for. They're crying out because they're empty inside, they're confused, they're lost, and they don't know how to get this feeling satisfied. Listen, they probably tried church and it failed because they just had programs or what have you, or meetings or whatever they did. Who knows? And then they were introduced to so-called a God that did nothing for them. It just taught them to pray when you're in misery. You know, just pray and hope for your breakthroughs and things of that nature. And it didn't do anything. Here, we show you the true living God. We're not about programs. I'm sorry, we don't have programs to go out and feed the poor. We don't have programs to go out and distribute tracts. We don't have programs to help with, you know, marriage counseling. We don't have programs to help with adolescent issues. We don't have, but we do have everything. The message in itself will heal every issue in your life. You know, I look at individuals, and there's a lot out there. They come for help, and they just waste your time. They're not looking for help. They're just looking to be pet, or just for you to agree with them. They're not looking to hear the truth. As soon as you begin to tell them the truth, they're like, phew, and they'll find somebody else that they can cling to tell them what they want to hear. In this place, you might not hear what you want to hear. You might not like what you hear in this place. All I can say is open your heart and open your mind and give this place a chance. When I said that we are in a world movement, a worldwide movement, it's true. We're at the infant stage of coming out to feed, I want to say, God's sheep. There's a verse in the Bible that God had a wedding and a wedding feast. And he invited, and I'm going to just kind of paraphrase this, he invited the people in the church, so to say. He invited his people. The ones who say they knew him. The ones that proclaimed his name. And you know what? They didn't show, did they? And I believe we're at an appointed time right now. We're at an appointed time right now where God said, well, go in the highways and the byways now. And go invite all those who don't know me. And what happened? They all came. We are at the pinnacle point right now in, I want to say, history. It's not by accident that I was abducted. And I'm going to call it an abduction or whatever you want to say, because it's not on a free will basis. I was abducted. I was taken. I was brought to a place, and then my life was brought back and changed. I'm a freak, a freak of nature, a sign, wonder, and a miracle. maybe a superhero, a cape crusader. One throughout the day is a mild-mannered man. And then, at an appointed time, I put my cape on and I declare justice and truth. And I fight villains, villains that are out to destroy your life. And I fight it with truth and justice. That's what this place is. I want the world to begin to understand what this place is. You know, sometimes it embarrasses me when I meet people that are in the world, not in the church. You know, you look at these movements and all they're doing is shuffling around the church people. We talked about this earlier, the pastors and I. You know, they feed off of each other in the church. They can't go out and reach the lost. They can't do it because they are identified as the church. And the people out there don't want it. Listen, you here and those that have accepted church, you ran. How many here alone were disgusted and fed up with the church? Everybody's hands up. But when you heard this message and you heard the truth and the love that we have for this creator that I call, we're here. We cannot stop hearing because it's changing our lives. It's filling our hopes. It's bringing destiny. When destiny was robbed from you, what happened? Your heart began to be filled and changed, and you began to get the desires of your heart. I can look at each and every one that is here, and those that aren't here come. I know that they're here because God did something in their life through this place. The true living God has answered their prayer, delivered them from their struggles and their sufferings, and brought destiny, hope, life back into them and revived them. You want to see the dead walk? We got tons of dead people walking right now. We raised the dead. Not physically, spiritually. What more would you want? I could go around and confess that we raised the dead. We watched the cripples walk. We watched blind eyes open up and they're enlightened and they see the truth. Deaf ears, the ones that can't hear, not physically, not carnally, physically, even though we've had these miracles, signs and wonders happen. But I'm talking spiritually. The most important individual being is your spirit. I don't care about your flesh. I don't care. You know what? If you're deaf, it's probably better off that you stay deaf in the world that we're living in. If you're blind, it's probably better off being blind. If you're handicapped, it's probably better off being handicapped. Sometimes I look at myself and I see somebody in a wheelchair and I say, you know what? He don't have to work. He don't have to struggle. He don't have to get up at a certain time. He's got it pretty made. You know, he's catered, pushed around, fed. What's he suffering? I know where his suffering is. Love. He's empty. No one's loving him like we should, so to say. And they're all crying out for love. You know, I know the core ingredient of love because I'm filled with it. I really don't need anything because I'm filled with the core ingredient of love. It's an awakening and a revelation and the intimacy and friendship with our Creator. This is what I want to pass on to you. Because when you have this, you're filled. There is nothing left that you need to be filled with. Now, you do have a, I want to say, a carnal emotional feeling. It's nice to have friends around. It's nice to have conversation with people of same like mind and same like spirit. That's something that we will always need. But there's something greater that fulfills it. You can go back to, you know, we're carnal. We live in a world. And we have a worldly body, we have a worldly desire, and we, you know, those things have to be filled. How many people would agree with me on this one? And there's nothing wrong with this. I want to share today a message of love. And you know, this message was actually birthed by a song from Barry Manilow. How many people know Barry Manilow? And that song that says, I love you just the way you are. How many have heard that song? Love you just the way you are. I'm not a singer, but I'll sing it anyhow. I'll sing it in my car. I'll sing. And the Lord was singing that song to me for this message. You know, God has a love for you that supersedes judgment. It supersedes your so-called sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. How many people have heard that? The love of our Creator for you is far beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. And He loves you just the way you are. And if we can begin to accept this truth, we can have a relationship with our Creator and not be so concerned about changing. Because 99.9% who is looking for this movement does not want to change. How many people would agree with that one? They don't want to change. They just want love. Love me for who I am. How many times have you told that to someone that you cared about? How many times have you looked into the eyes of that one that you love and you just say, can't you just love me for who I am? There's a longing inside of us for to be accepted for just who we are. And the beauty is, that's our God. That's our God that I try to bring across to the world. That's the one who created us. He put His Spirit inside of us. And He had formed us for exactly who we are. He doesn't want us to be changed. He don't want to change us. He doesn't want a bunch of cookies that all look the same. He wants relationship with uniqueness. You know what I love about my relationships in the world? They're all unique. You know, today I want the flavor of Sam. I'll go eat up Sam. And then I want the flavor of Tim. And then I'll go and eat Tim up. And then I want the flavor of Mary Lou. And then I'll end up eating her up. And then John, we'll go out and I'll eat up him. How many people understand that? Could you imagine if we all taste the same? God's the same way. He wants uniqueness. He wants flavor. You know, when I was standing before the supernatural, I'll just call it, not many people understand or even know my testimony, but I can't wait until the book comes out. I really can't wait. It's driving me crazy, but in the appointed time, it'll come out. But I will say, when I looked into His eyes and I said, listen, I can't go alone. I need you to come with me. How do I dress? How do I act? I don't come from this background. This is like foreign to me and I'm in a foreign land. What do I do? And He says, nothing. You just be who you are exactly. I don't want anything to change. I don't want you to dress differently. I don't want you to put the collar on. I don't want you to act righteous. I don't even want you to put those spiritual righteous garments on. I want you to look like a slob. I want you to dress like a slob. I want you to look like a slob. I want you to sound like a slob. Now, at first, I thought that's what he really meant. Dirty jeans, you know, roughed up looking hair. No. He was talking spirit. You know, God speaks to a spirit. You know, he wants the spirit to not look so perfect. You know, I got lots of flaws. I got lots of problems, but that makes character. If I was perfect, do you think I would have humility? I'd be puffed up with pride. I'd put myself above everyone else. How am I supposed to relate to the world? You know, there have been prophets of old. There's one that we know of in this King James book called the Bible. Remember, I'm speaking to the world. And there's one man in here, his name is Jesus, and a lot of the Christians refer to him, even look at him as a God. And I want to say that he was a rough-looking dude. They even said that not many of them even liked him. They even said that it was really difficult to even look upon him because he was an ugly guy. But at the same time, if you looked at his life, how did he live it? With the taxpayers and the prostitutes. He was living in the world. He wasn't living, you know, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wasn't living with the high priests in the church. He was walking the highways and the byways. And I believe we're in the same movement right now. The world is crying, and they're crying for love. And God is love. And I want to tell the world out there that God is looking for who you are, just the way you are. He's not looking for you to change. And so I'm hoping that the world begins to see this and hear this and be drawn to this message, be drawn to this movement. Because I truly believe that's what they want. They want relationship, and they just want you to love them for who they are. How many people can say amen on that one? Now, as I began to seek for this word, you know, the Lord is saying, I believe God is saying to us, come all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I truly believe, and I hope the church out there is listening to me, I truly believe that we are in a time where there is a new wedding and a new wedding feast, and the door is closed to the church. I truly believe this. And I want those that are listening, you're not here by accident. You're not hearing this by accident. He wants you to grab hold of what is being said, because there was too much, I want to say, democracy. It was closed. Politics, closed. He doesn't want all that structure. He wants relationship. Pure relationship. You know how many arguments are going on in the church right now? who's going to be what, who's going to do this, who, I'm voting for this, I'm voting for that, I'm doing it, I want that. Let's build another building. Let's have another building fund. Let's have another car wash. Let's keep doing this. Let's keep, we got to make money because we got to do this and we got to do that. I thank God that he didn't allow us to be like that. I thank God that he would not allow it at all risk. He was willing to let everybody that wanted it walk away. And what did we do? All right, see you later. We're not here to build what God is tearing down. We're here to build what he's building. And what he's building is a relationship with everyone around the world. Because that seed of Christ is in all of us. What's missing is the water. And we're here to give the water. We're here to water it, to tell all those that are wounded and hurt, lost and confused, ones that are empty, dying, hungry, thirsting, looking for righteousness, looking for what I call the kingdom of God, happiness, peace, and joy. How many people are crying out saying, I just want to have fun. I just want to be happy. I just want to have fun. I don't want this drama. I don't want this misery. I don't want this. I just want fun, happiness, and peace. How many of you have heard people say that before? That's all I'm searching for. You got misery? Take it over there. I don't want to hear it anymore. That's a movement. There was a movement not too long ago, and it went rampant. And people grabbed it. And they loved it. It's called drama. How many people know what I'm talking about? There's shows that are just filled with drama. Do you know they're dwindling away? How many do you see now that's loaded with drama? They're all starting to fall by the wayside. You know, it was like a quick fad. When it came in and was introduced, people grabbed hold of it. They liked the attention. They couldn't wait and see what was going to happen to who and who was going to what and what was going to go where. And all that drama, and then it piled up so bad that people just didn't want it anymore. I'm sick of hearing the same thing. I'm sick of, please stop it. You come in here and you stir up everything. You're disturbing my atmosphere. Well, that atmosphere never existed. God's bringing that atmosphere in. I believe that the kingdom of God is coming upon the earth. And people are being drawn to peace like we've never seen before. People are being drawn to love, happiness, and righteousness. Look at what is happening around us. Nobody wants to be wrong. Think about it. And it's okay. Everybody wants to be right. Can't we agree to disagree? How many of us heard that one before? Man, that one just came in not too long ago. Never heard it before in my life. Now all of a sudden it becomes a little popular. Can't we just agree to disagree? That means that there really is no, you know, it means that I could do whatever I want to do. Now, I feel the same way. I will never agree with lies. I will agree with truth, and that's it. To agree to disagree, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I will say, and you'll hear come out of my mouth, there is no right and there is no wrong, there is no good and there is no bad. I want to explain to those that are here and those that are listening what that truly means. God has a love for us that he doesn't care about right, wrong, good, or bad when you come to him. You're pure. You're perfect. He doesn't see anything. There's no judgment in the eyes of my God, in our Creator, in your God. There is no judgment. Okay? And when I say that there is no good, no bad, no right, no wrong, there is no judgment in the eyes of God. I want you to come to him with that mindset that he doesn't judge you. We're all going to have different views and we're all going to have different opinions. Amen? But in the eyes of God, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no bad. You'll begin to understand what I'm saying in a minute. Because as that relationship is built, let's say Tim and I are building a relationship. Whatever he does, I'm accepting it. I respect it. And at the same, I'm hoping that he would see that in my life. And then as that relationship is building, we can share the intimacy between us and say, you know what? Maybe you might want to not do that and change this. And because of love, we hear each other. You're not going to have this without love. And God works the same way. How would you like somebody to meet you the first day and all of a sudden start telling you all the things that you're doing wrong? Oh yeah, I want that relationship. Just ream me out, okay? Just drill me up a new hole and tell me how bad I am and all the wrong things I'm doing. Yeah, we're going to hit it off. And what's the next reaction? Well, you know, you're not so perfect either. You're doing this and you're doing that. And all we're doing is passing judgment against each other. That's not the God that I serve. Sounds like the church, though, don't it, in today's world? No wonder people don't want to walk into the church. They're afraid that you're going to start telling them all what they do wrong. When God wants you just the way you are, he's not concerned about that, and nor should we be. If you see me, you see the Father. I don't care. I don't care what you do. One thing, this is how God works. As he begins a relationship with you, because, you know, it's mutual. You draw near to me, I draw near to you. I want you to understand that a relationship with God is not like he has to love you, even though he loves you. He can say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I mean, there are some phrases in that book that can maybe make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. You know, we take the love of God for granted as if, you know, he's always going to be there for us. But he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And he resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I mean, is that not the truth? Am I saying anything foreign? So for me to paint you a picture of God, I got to paint you the real picture. I got to let you know that you can't take his grace for granted. So there's, you know, a responsibility on our part. We come before him with humility, knowing how great he is and that his love for us is unconditional, and be very grateful for that because he loves us just the way we are. I would give anyone, anything, to be a friend of mine who loves me just the way I am. And I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm sure that, you know, when you met that person of the dream of your life, they loved you for who you are. And that's why you were drawn to that person, right? They weren't criticized. They didn't criticize you or anything. Well, God is the same way with His love. And then what happens is that relationship becomes mutual. You love Him. He loves you. Begins to be mutual. Begins to grow. And then you begin to understand His ways, His voice. I'm here. This ministry, this place, is for you to hear His voice. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm here to show you the way, how God and you could live your life together and fulfill your life as one. And it really comes down to conviction. Conviction is the voice of God. He's the one that speaks. And I hope and pray that we might be getting some conviction today, so that you can be drawn closer to Him. That's my job. My job is for you to have a relationship with our Creator so that you can live the life that you long for, so that you can live the life of being filled with peace, joy, and righteousness. Now, what better is it to have a relationship with a God that doesn't say that you're doing anything wrong? That's righteousness right there. And when you begin to start seeing this righteousness, you start to become happy. You start to get joy. And you know what else? You start to find peace. You're at a place of peace. It doesn't disturb you. It doesn't make you upset. Comfort you. Well, do you know what we enter? We enter what we call the kingdom of God. We enter that place where He dwells. And He dwells in our heart. But He also dwells out here too. I want you to know that. He dwells out and in. Out and in, out and in, out and in. And I want Him to draw in and make a house where He can dwell with you forever and ever and ever. Those that have this feeling of emptiness, some people think it's unrepairable. It is what it is. And they begin to accept it. Well, there's a verse that says, two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And your strength. And then there's another commandment that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself comes first. You can't love your neighbor until you find love with yourself. And I want to end this message to show you how important it is for you to love yourself, not in a selfish way, but to love who you are, where you live, what color you are, your geographical location, your background, your ethnicity, whatever you call it. Ethnicity. If you got a speech problem like me, love it. Accept it. If you don't have an education or you do have an education, accept it. You know, Pastor Sam said something earlier. Surrender, accept, and receive. And it is so true, where in order for us to bring this to the fullness, loving yourself is a major part of bringing relationship with God. If you don't love yourself, you could be searching for a real long time for a relationship on earth with another significant other. And you're never going to have that relationship if you don't love yourself. It's going to push the relationship away. We have to come to that place to start accepting who we are and understand the love of God, because we can pull from that power. If we understood unconditional love from our Creator, we can pull from that power and apply it into our life. Well, you might not like me, but I know someone that does. You might not really agree with everything, but I know someone who does. And if this individual does, then I'm okay with it too. I can only really accept who I am and my flaws is because I know I got a God who loves me. And because of that, I can accept and love myself and say, it is what it is. And it's okay. You know, we'll work on it. And why don't you help me? You see, it becomes now a mutual thing, not a self-pity thing. When we develop self-pity and we begin to get angry at ourselves and upset with ourselves and disappointed with ourselves, I'm going to tell you right now, that manifests. You put an aura or like a realm around you, like there's the peanut gallery, Pigpen. Anybody ever see that cartoon? And he's walking around with this cloud dust around him. I'm going to tell you right now, you could probably have a lot of great qualities about yourself. But if you got that Pigpen cloud around you, I don't care. You're going to keep every love away from you. And the only way to get rid of that Pigpen cloud that is around us is begin to accept your flaws. Begin to accept the things that disappoint you. Whether you don't have enough money, or you don't have a good job, or your car's not running right, or you know, you have pimples on your face, or you know, you're not big, or you're too big, or you know, whatever your excuses are, whatever you drum up, whatever's in your head that is only trying to destroy you, you got to begin to say, well, you know what? Maybe my car isn't great, but it runs. Maybe my job isn't all that great, but it pays. Maybe the money isn't all that great, but it puts food on the table. You know, we got to find some good in the negatives. We got to start battling the negatives in our lives so that we can come to this love that I'm talking about. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, oh, God loves you. Come, just come to God. He'll accept you just the way you are. Which is true. But if you don't accept who you are, how are you going to draw near to Him and Him draw near to you? If there's that part, and it's a crucial part, it's a big part. It's like has to be part. You could be a great person. You could be smart. I've met some people recently, just in the last couple of weeks. Great looking, great careers, but people don't seem to be attracted to them. Why? Negativity, judgment, all this within themselves. How many people understand what judgment is? As soon as you begin to point fingers at somebody, what do you got? Three fingers pointing at yourself? Hello? It's not rocket scientists. But I want to end this service, this message. My time's up. That God loves you just the way you are. And I'm saying to you, don't look at your flaws. Don't look at the shortcomings. Don't look at the past. Start loving for who you are. And as you begin to start surrendering and accepting and then receiving, you'll be filled with love. And that emptiness will be filled. And you'll illuminate peace. You'll illuminate joy. You'll illuminate righteousness. It'll come out of you. And it'll draw every desire in your heart, whether it's a business relationship, whether it's you know, emotional, physical relationship, whatever your need is, you know, carnally, it'll be given. Doors will open up in your life. You know, the reason why doors aren't opening is because you probably got a major issue with yourself. And until you resolve that issue within yourself and back off, and I used to always say, get the tighty whities off, you know, and loosen up, you're going to have the same problem for years on end. Over and over and over. And you're going to repeat in a sane life. You're not going to get a new life. You're not going to find this new life that I'm talking about. So please, hear what I'm saying. Look in the mirror. Renounce all the bad things you see. Renounce all the bad thoughts that might enter into your head. All your bad qualities, all your shortcomings, and start speaking life in those areas of your life. And accept them. And as soon as you begin to accept them, watch what God does. You know, draw near to Him. He's longing to have a relationship with you. Listen. He loves the chief sinners. He loves the heathens. He loves them. That's right, they're real. I'm telling you right now, I'm prophesying for the age and time that we're living in, the doors closed to the church. You're hearing this word because God saw your heart and you weren't a part of the drama. You weren't a part of the politics and the democracy and all that stuff that's involved in it. You broke away from it. You stood for justice. You stood for what was right, despite the circumstances that could have happened. I'm grateful for the hearts that He's drawing to this place. So if we can have every head bowed for a moment. And I'm going to minister to everybody while we just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want you to hear the words that I'm declaring, because they are not of mine, but of His. And the Lord says that I have loved you before the foundations of the world. And what has separated my love between you and I was that you were looking at yourself. And you've heard the lies. And you bowed down and worshiped other gods. And you put these gods before me. But I want you today, hear my voice, and those who hearken and hear my voice and turn from their wicked ways, that they renounce those other gods that they exalted and lifted up above me. And then I will now come into you and heal your land. But if you continue to bow down and worship the lies that are telling you that you are not qualified, or you have done wrong, those negative thoughts that are dividing and separating us, and you're not loving your neighbor, and you're not loving yourself, and you're not loving me with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength because you're not trusting me, then I can't be your God. But I want to be your God. And that's why I'm saying these words today to you. It's not by accident that it's you that hears my voice. There's a reason why others might not be hearing this. So the Lord is saying, if we hear his voice, and we begin to love him with all our hearts, all our mind, all of our strength, and begin to renounce those lies that come in and try to create negativity, try to impart bitterness and judgment, anger, resentment, and hatred. They come in many, 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 many different ways. If we judge someone, then we have it. And if we judge, then we're just a mirror image of ourselves. And let us have that heart, as our Creator has, whether is no right, no wrong, no good, no bad, that we love them for just the way they are. Father, I thank you, Lord. And I ask that you impart this mystery into my heart and those that are here today and listening, that we walk without judgment, and we begin to love ourselves unconditionally, despite the circumstances, despite the challenges. Give us the strength to overcome these challenges. Let us throw away the crutches. Let us throw away the things that we lean on, the things that we make excuses for, and let us stand up in your righteousness, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to pass this over to Sam. He's going to close us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Sam.
Make sure we Wednesday night service 7:00, 7:30 Wednesday night service. You know, I can't express it enough how essential it is to just keep hopping on this website, get the messages, get them into you, listen to them over and over again. Listen, you have to replace the lies with truth. We have to replace the lies that have been ingrained in our minds through the patterns of this world. There's patterns that are stuck in our minds, and we have to have truth to battle. And, you know, he says, my children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. My children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So listen, any chance you get, put a message on. Get this foundation in you. Get this truth in you. It's the only way you can fight the lies. You can't fight the lies yourself. We have to have this truth. And you're not going to find it anywhere else but here. GloryToTheNations.org. Log on and get free. Amen.